Welcome back to Cyber Warnings Daily, listeners. You know we like to get right into the thick of it, so today we're diving into, well, I guess you could call it a bit of a digital dumpster fire.
Sounds intriguing. Fire away.
But buckle up, because we've got data leaks, firewall flubs, and a dash of international cyber espionage, enough to make your head spin.
It's never a dull day in the cyber world, is it?
Not even close.
Okay.
Okay, so, story number one. Let's talk about Volkswagen. Or rather, their software subsidiary, CARIAD. Seems they've left some sensitive data out in the digital rain.
Oh, how bad are we talking?
Pretty bad. Data from almost 800,000 electric vehicles exposed online. And we're not talking just names and email addresses here.
I was about to say, that's almost a daily occurrence these days, right? What's the real story here?
The real kicker is the type of data. Geolocation data, in some cases. Accurate down to centimeters.
Wow, that's pretty granular. Imagine someone knowing exactly where your car is parked. That's essentially a roadmap to your home, your work, your entire daily routine.
Right. Talk about a privacy nightmare. You'd think they'd have better security around that kind of information.
You would think so, especially with the sensitivity of location data. It's not just about privacy anymore. It's about safety and security as well.
Absolutely. And here's a twist. This vulnerability wasn't discovered by some malicious hacker, but by the Chaos Computer Club. They're a group of ethical hackers, essentially the good guys in this scenario.
Those guys are legends. They've been exposing security flaws for decades, forcing companies to take security seriously. It's a critical role they play.
Right on. And thanks to them, we know the scope of this leak is massive. 300,000 vehicles in Germany, tens of thousands more across Europe. Even police and intelligence vehicles were caught up in this.
Ouch. Talk about an embarrassing oversight. It just goes to show that no one is immune to these kinds of data leaks. So how did the hackers, or rather the ethical hackers, find this vulnerability?
They're pretty tight-lipped about the specifics, but from what we know, they bypassed several security measures, found access keys in an internal memory dump, and that led them to a treasure trove of customer data on an Amazon cloud storage instance.
Leaving the keys in the ignition, as they say. Cloud security is paramount these days. It's baffling how companies still drop the ball on this.
To be fair to CARIAD, once the vulnerability was reported, they moved quickly to patch it. And they say there's no evidence that any malicious third parties accessed the data.
Well, that's something, at least. But it still begs the question, why were they collecting this level of granular location data in the first place?
Their justification is that they use the data to improve digital functions and enhance customer benefits. Think optimizing battery technology based on charging habits, personalized services, things like that.
I mean, that all sounds good on paper, but it still feels like a trade-off. Are we willing to sacrifice our privacy for a slightly more convenient driving experience? It's a question we all need to consider.
For sure. It's a slippery slope, and as our cars become more connected, this issue is only going to get more complex.
Speaking of complex, let's move on to our next story. This one involves firewalls, the very things that are supposed to protect our networks from intruders.
Oh, this doesn't sound good. What kind of firewall trouble are we talking about?
A new vulnerability has been discovered in a popular firewall software called PanOS. And it's a doozy.
Weigh it on me.
An attacker, without needing any special access or passwords, can send a specially crafted data packet to a firewall running this software, causing it to reboot.
Wait, so like a remote control for crashing firewalls?
Precisely. And it gets worse. Repeated attacks can lock the firewall in maintenance mode, requiring someone to physically go and restore it.
Mm-hmm.
This type of attack is known as a denial of service, or DOS attack.
So basically, someone could shut down a network's defenses completely. Not ideal.
Not at all. And to make matters even more concerning, this vulnerability affects the firewall's DNS security feature, which is meant to block malicious traffic. It's ironic, really.
It's like finding a flaw in your shield. So where exactly is this vulnerability hiding? How does someone exploit it?
The details are a bit technical, but essentially attackers exploit a weakness in how the firewall processes specific DNS requests. This triggers a buffer overflow, causing the system to crash.
So it's a software bug, essentially.
Yeah.
And who found this bug?
Palo Alto Networks, the company that makes the firewall, actually discovered it themselves during, get this, active exploitation attempts.
Whoa, so someone was already using this vulnerability in the wild. That's scary.
It is. It underscores the fact that we're constantly in this cat and mouse game with attackers. They're always looking for new ways to exploit our systems, and we're always trying to stay one step ahead.
So what can people do to protect themselves? Is there a patch available?
Thankfully, yes. Palo Alto Networks has released patches for different versions of their PAN-OS software. So if you're using this firewall, update it immediately.
This is your friendly public service announcement, folks. Update your firewalls. Don't wait. Do it now. Seriously.
It's like locking your doors at night. It's a simple step that can make a big difference in your security.
Exactly. But even with patches and updates, it feels like we're always playing catch-up. How could we stay ahead of these attackers who are constantly finding new ways to break things?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's one we're going to be grappling with for a long time.
Yeah.
But one thing is for sure, we can't be complacent.
Right. Awareness is key.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding the threats, knowing how to protect ourselves, and being proactive about our security.
Absolutely. And on that note, let's shift gears to our final story for today. This one takes us into the world of international intrigue, where the battle lines are drawn in code.
Sounds like we're entering the digital spy game. I'm intrigued. What's going on?
Well, it seems we have another victim in the ongoing saga of Chinese cyber espionage. A ninth U.S. telecommunications company has confirmed a breach, and all signs point to a group linked to the Chinese government.
Ninth. Wow, that's a lot. So this isn't just an isolated incident. It's a pattern of behavior.
Exactly. This latest victim is part of a larger campaign orchestrated by a group that's been dubbed Salt Typhoon. They've been on the radar since at least 2019, targeting government entities and telecoms, particularly in Southeast Asia.
So they're seasoned veterans of the cyber espionage game. What exactly were they after this time?
While there's no evidence that they compromised classified communications, they did gain persistent access to the company's networks, meaning they could potentially intercept data, conduct surveillance, and monitor communications on a massive scale. Not exactly something you want a foreign government doing on your network.
That's unsettling, to say the least. And this is happening right here in the U.S.
It is, and it's a growing concern for the U.S. government. The White House is urging companies to step up their security practices, and there's even talk of banning certain Chinese technology products.
It's like a technological cold war is brewing. So what can we do? Is anyone fighting back against these digital spies?
The U.S. government is taking this threat seriously. CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, has released guidance to help organizations detect and defend against Salt Typhoon attacks. They've even gone so far as to urge government officials to use end-to-end encrypted messaging apps like Signal.
Wow, if even government officials are using encrypted apps, that really says something about the severity of this threat.
It does, and it underscores the importance of strong national cybersecurity strategies. We need to be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to defending our digital infrastructure.
It's a whole new world out there, and the battlefield is digital.
That it is. And as we've seen today, the stakes are incredibly high.
Data leaks, vulnerable firewalls, nation-state hacking.
Yeah.
It's enough to make you want to unplug from the internet completely.
I hear you. But as we become increasingly reliant on technology, that's just not realistic. We need to find ways to manage the risks and protect ourselves in this increasingly connected world.
Right. And that's what we're all about here at Cyber Mornings Daily. We want to help you understand the threats, learn how to protect yourself, and navigate the digital world safely and securely.
Knowledge is power, and the more you know, the better equipped you'll be to face these challenges.
So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back to delve deeper into these interconnected stories and discuss the implications for our digital lives.
Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. We're picking up right where we left off, untangling this web of digital chaos.
Yeah, we've got electric car data spills, firewalls that are, well, less than fireproof, and Chinese hackers making themselves at home in U.S. telecom networks. It's a lot to process.
It is, and it really highlights the fragility of our digital world. So let's try to connect the dots here.
Love a good dot connecting exercise. What's the most obvious link?
Data leaks, of course. We've got Volkswagen leaking location data from their cars, telecoms potentially hemorrhaging sensitive communications. It paints a rather concerning picture.
It does, doesn't it? Like, it's one thing to lose your credit card number, but your location data, that's next level sensitive information.
Exactly. It's not just about privacy anymore. It's about personal safety. Someone with malicious intent could use that Volkswagen location data to track your movements, know where you live, where you work. It's unsettling.
Absolutely. And in the case of the telecom breaches, we're talking about potential access to communication records, metadata, maybe even the content of calls and messages.
Right. That kind of information could be used for blackmail, espionage, all sorts of nefarious activities.
Chilling stuff. So data leaks are definitely a common thread here.
Yeah.
But how does that firewall vulnerability fit into all of this?
That's where things get even more interesting. Remember, we talked about how this vulnerability allows attackers to remotely crash firewalls.
Yeah, like a remote control for crashing a network's defenses. Pretty scary stuff.
It is. Now, imagine if those Chinese hackers, or any attacker for that matter, were to exploit this vulnerability to bring down the firewalls protecting those compromised telecom companies.
Hold on, so they wouldn't just be stealing data.
Yeah.
They could potentially shut the whole system down.
Exactly. They could disrupt services, cause widespread chaos. Imagine emergency services disrupted, financial transactions halted, communication networks down.
It's like a digital domino effect. One vulnerability toppling into the next, leading to potentially catastrophic consequences.
Makes you wonder how we're supposed to balance the benefits of all this technology with the risks.
It's a question we're all grappling with, isn't it? Our cars, our phones, our homes, critical infrastructure, it's all interconnected, all vulnerable.
It's a sobering thought, but it also feels like a call to action. We can't just sit back and watch this unfold.
Absolutely. We need to be more aware, more proactive, more demanding of the companies that hold our data.
So what can we do as individuals? What practical steps can we take to protect ourselves?
Well, it starts with being mindful. Think before you share information online. Question those data collection practices.
Be discerning about who you trust with your digital life, basically.
Got it. Anything else?
Strong passwords, of course. It's basic, but so important. And keep your software updated. Those updates often include security patches for these very vulnerabilities we're talking about.
Right. So don't ignore those update notifications. They might be annoying, but they could save you a lot of trouble.
Precisely. But it's not just about individual actions. We need to hold companies accountable. Demand transparency about their security practices. Support legislation that strengthens privacy and cybersecurity protections. Make your voice heard.
It's a collective effort. We need to work together to create a safer digital world.
Exactly. Cybersecurity isn't just a technical issue, it's a societal one. We all have a role to play in making the digital world a safer place.
Well said. But before we move on, is there anything else we can glean from these stories? Any key takeaway you want to emphasize?
I think the biggest takeaway is the interconnectedness of it all. These three stories might seem unrelated at first glance, but they're all symptoms of a much larger problem.
Okay, I'm listening. Mm-hmm. What's the bigger picture here?
We live in a world where data is the new currency, and cybersecurity isn't just an IT issue anymore. It's a business issue, a societal issue, a national security issue.
Wow, that's powerful. You're right, cybersecurity touches every aspect of our lives these days. So what does this mean for us moving forward?
It means we need to move away from a reactive approach to cybersecurity and embrace a proactive one. Anticipate threats, build resilience, foster a culture of security.
It's not just about firewalls and antivirus software anymore. It's a fundamental shift in how we think about and approach security in a digital world.
Exactly. It's about building a more secure future, one step at a time. And on that note, let's transition to the final part of our deep dive.
Sounds good. Stay with us, folks. We'll be exploring the motivations behind these attacks and what this all means for our digital lives. And we're back for the final leg of our Cyber Mornings Daily Deep Dive. We've covered a lot of ground today, haven't we?
We have. It's amazing how these seemingly separate stories, the electric car data, the firewall vulnerability, that Chinese hacking group, they all kind of weave together in this digital tapestry of, well, cyber mayhem.
It's like we've been peeling back layers of an onion, and each layer reveals a new dimension of complexity.
Exactly. It just goes to show how interconnected our digital world truly is. And as we become more reliant on technology, the stakes just keep getting higher.
Absolutely. One thing that really struck me during our discussion is the sheer amount of data that's being collected and stored these days. It's almost unfathomable.
It is, isn't it? And it's not just the tech giants or government agencies. Everyone, from car manufacturers to healthcare providers to, well, your local coffee shop, everyone is gathering data.
Data is the new gold, as they say. But as we've seen today, it can also be a huge liability, a juicy target for hackers, and a major source of risk if it's not properly protected.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to be mindful of our digital footprint, to think critically about the information we share, the devices we use, the companies we trust.
It's like we need to develop a sixth sense for online security, a kind of digital intuition to help us navigate this increasingly complex landscape.
I like that, digital intuition. And part of developing that intuition is understanding the motives behind these attacks. Why are these hackers targeting electric car data? Why crash firewalls? What are nation states hoping to gain from all this cyber espionage?
Let's play digital detective for a minute. What are the motives? What's the end game for these attackers?
Well, in the case of the electric car data leak, the motives could be pretty diverse. Maybe they were after personal information they could sell on the dark web, or perhaps they wanted that geolocation data for more nefarious purposes, like tracking individuals.
It's scary to think about, but they could even be trying to make a statement. Expose vulnerabilities in these connected car systems and force manufacturers to take security more seriously.
Right. It's a form of digital activism, a way to hold organizations accountable for their security practices.
A wake-up call, essentially, like, hey, you're not doing enough to protect our data, so we're going to show the world just how vulnerable you are.
Precisely. And it can be effective. No company wants to be in the headlines for a data breach. It damages their reputation, erodes customer trust. It's bad for business.
Makes sense. So we've got financial motives, potential malicious intent, hacktivism. What about the firewall vulnerability? Why would someone want to crash a firewall?
Well, as we discussed, a denial of service attack can disrupt services, cause chaos, and even be used to extort money. Sometimes they use it as a distraction.
A distraction.
Yeah, like a smokescreen. While everyone is scrambling to restore service after a DOS attack, the attackers have a window of opportunity to do something else, like steal data or infiltrate systems.
Sneaky. And what about nation-state hacking? What's the motivation there? Why are countries like China engaging in cyber espionage?
Nation-state hacking is a complex issue, but generally it boils down to intelligence gathering. They want to know what other countries are up to, their military capabilities, their economic strategies, you name it.
It's like traditional espionage, but in the digital realm. Instead of sending spies to infiltrate physical locations, you're sending malware to infiltrate computer systems.
Right. And in today's world, where so much information is stored digitally, cyber espionage can be much more effective and a lot less risky than traditional methods.
And it's not just about stealing secrets, is it? They can also use these attacks to disrupt critical infrastructure, sabotage economies, spread propaganda. It's a whole new dimension of warfare.
It is. And the battlefield is constantly evolving. It's a constant game of cat and mouse. Attackers finding new ways to exploit vulnerabilities and defenders working tirelessly to patch those holes.
It's fascinating and terrifying all at the same time. But it also feels like there's an element of hope in all of this. This challenge demands innovation, collaboration, and a constant pursuit of knowledge.
Absolutely. It's a challenge that really pushes the boundaries of human ingenuity.
It was one of the things that makes cybersecurity so compelling. It's always changing, always challenging us to think differently, to adapt, to find new ways to protect ourselves.
It's a field that's full of surprises, and it's only going to become more critical in the years to come.
Well said. And that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. It's been an enlightening journey, and I hope our listeners have learned a few things along the way.
Me too. And remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand about cybersecurity, the better equipped you'll be to navigate this digital world safely.
Absolutely. So stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay curious. And that's a wrap for Cyber Mornings Daily. Until next time, stay safe out there in the digital world.
And keep those firewalls up.